This episode is sponsored by Serenity Kids. Serenity Kids is an innovative baby and toddler food brand on a mission to make children healthier one bite at a time. They offer a unique range of nutrient-dense, high-quality, low-sugar foods that are packed with premium ingredients like organic veggies, healthy fats, and protein from chicken, beef, turkey, salmon, and even bison. This Austin-based company was launched by husband and wife, Serenity and Joe, on the very same day their daughter, Della, was born. They're committed to providing the most nutritious, premium, high-quality baby food possible by sourcing from regenerative farms and rigorously testing for heavy metals. Because at Serenity Kids, every bite counts. So visit myserenitykids.com to learn more and use the code MOTHERLY for 15% off your first purchase. That's myserenitykids.com and the code MOTHERLY for 15% off your first purchase. So I have talked on our podcast before about the feeding journey that I've already been on 11 years into motherhood. I've talked about how when I was a brand new mom, I had this idea that I would make my own baby food. And of course, my child would have the ideal diet. But a few years in and a couple more kids realized like my ideals were very far from my reality when it came to food. I felt like it was just a burden and I wasn't doing a great job at it, eating what was easy and having it really be an afterthought. But as the world turns and as life goes on, now I have kids who, frankly, are old enough to understand more about nutrition. And so they have started to drive conversations in our home. So now they're the ones saying, "Mom, don't buy chips. Mom, don't buy the ice cream. We don't want to be eating that." It's really interesting to have kids old enough to be able to make their own healthy choices and participate in that conversation. So more to come on the next chapter, but I think today's guest will help our listeners to come up with some new ideas and new ways of thinking about the food that we feed to our kids throughout these many stages of motherhood. Hey, Mama, welcome to the Motherly Podcast, where we have honest conversations about modern motherhood. I'm Liz Tennedy. I am a co-founder here at Motherly, and I'm also a mother of five kids myself. Today's guest is Serenity Carr. Serenity, along with her husband Joe, is the founder. She is the CEO of Serenity Kids, which is a company that they founded to create nutrient-dense foods for children that are also convenient for their parents. Serenity Kids has a clean label certification. And as a mother certainly concerned about her baby's nutrition, I am actually a real-life loyal customer myself. In this conversation, we talk all about Serenity's motherhood journey, the path that led her to really reevaluate her own health and nutrition, and then why she and Joe ultimately decided to launch their company together. Serenity Carr, welcome to the Motherly Podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
We are so excited to have you on. We have a lot to learn today. But first, I'm curious, what surprised you the most about motherhood?
For me, I had Della when I was 41, so I waited a long time to become a mom, and I thought it was going to be just a ton of work, which it is, but also it's more fun than I ever imagined it would be. My life has so much more play in it and wonder and curiosity. That was, I mean, more than a surprise. I was actually kind of shocked, but it's amazing.
It's just so fun. Like, it's obviously so challenging and so hard, but like, where else am I going to have like this many laughs and like absurdities? It is a playground for adults and a way to, I don't know, to keep us young and to experience childhood again in a new way. What else has motherhood taught you about yourself?
I really think I am a lot more patient than I ever thought I would be. I'm a planner kind of personality. So I like to have my plans in order. I like to be early to things. I like to know what's going to happen, right? And with motherhood, you pretty much can't do a lot of those things. Or if you do, your plans will change and things will shift. And so I think I've learned that I'm more flexible than I thought. And I can go with the flow easier than I thought I could. Before motherhood, canceling things at the last minute, I just couldn't do it, even if I really maybe needed to, right? Even if I was really sick, right? I had made a commitment, yes, but also I have a commitment to myself, to honor myself in the moment. And it has really taught me how to do that with acceptance, love, and compassion.
Do you think that becoming a more patient person through motherhood has helped you in your professional life as well?
100%. Before I started this company with my husband, I had never managed a person ever. I'd had a lot of business experience, but I had never been a manager. And dealing with people is a new challenge. People are so unique and unexpected and surprising sometimes. And so being able to roll with it when someone is coming to me for support or help or in confusion or, you know, something's kind of emotionally going on with them, and being able to open myself and be curious and sit in the moment with them, this other beautiful human that I'm across from, that I'm here to obviously support. How can I open up to the divine and just let that work through me?
Oh, I love that so much. And, you know, I think a big theme we try to talk about here on the podcast is not just how motherhood reshapes us in our mothering and the things that come out of us as humans through the mothering, but how motherhood reshapes us for all these other aspects of our life. And part of what's interesting about your story is that you were actually working in the parenting space a bit before you became a parent. We want to hear about that. So tell us, why did you start Serenity Kids?
Yeah, well, good question. So I had been working in corporate America for about 12 years and really liked the work, but my heart wasn't happy. It wasn't in it anymore. I'd kind of had a spiritual awakening and I just couldn't muster a lot of enthusiasm for Dell's stockholders, you know, that they are not why I wanted to wake up in the morning. So I was looking for something else, soul searching, really trying to find my path. And I met my now husband and we started talking about having a family pretty early, actually, in our relationship. And we were at an ancestral nutrition conference and I started feeling like all fuzzy and maternal. And I'm like, Joe, let's go look and see what baby stuff is here. Let's find it. What's the super nutrient dense stuff for babies? And there was absolutely nothing. And I went up to the CEO of the conference because she was a friend of mine. And I'm like, Michelle, where is the baby stuff? And she said, I ask myself that question every year. And I thought, huh, well, I guess we'll just have to make our own baby food someday if we ever become parents together. But Joe is an entrepreneur at heart. He has started a couple different projects and businesses. He's always starting new things. And he said, maybe we should start a baby food company because he was the tail end of a job and I was doing a job I didn't really love. And he really wanted more of me. So he's like, let's work together too. And so I remember thinking like, this guy's crazy. We weren't engaged at the time. We had not made that commitment to each other. So I spent my summer of, I think it was 2016. I call it my summer of nerddom. I read everything I could about infant nutrition. A lot of my health mentors in the ancestral nutrition and paleo space had recently had children. So they've been blogging about what were they feeding their kids? What did they like about what they were feeding them? What did they not like about it? And I was like, you know, every one of them was making compromises for convenience. And I thought, if my health mentors, the people I put on a huge pedestal who are really like the epitome of who I want to be when I grow up, if they're making compromises for convenience, then I know that everybody else is too. So I launched into a big study of breast milk composition. I dragged Joe to the milk bank here in Austin, Texas. Plug for ladies with extra stashes in their freezer. You can donate that and save preemies' lives by donating your breast milk. So we did all that kind of research and realized what babies kind of needed. And then we hired a VA from Indonesia, a virtual assistant, to do all this research and pull all this data around organic baby foods in the market. We had this huge spreadsheet with hundreds of organic baby foods. And when you look at the macronutrients, it was pretty much 100% carbs. And if you look at the macronutrients of breast milk, you've got a lot of fat, you've got a lot of protein and carbs also, right? It's more balanced. So then I got mad. I got really, really mad because if I hadn't been on such a life-changing but very difficult health journey, then I would have been like most parents out there. I would have had a baby. I would have gone to the baby food aisle and I would have thought, oh, these big baby food companies, they care only about what's best for my baby. They're only going to put out the best baby foods out there. And really, fruit was the only thing on the aisle at the time. So surely fruit is exactly what I should be feeding my baby all day, every day, all day long. And in reality, there was no fat on the aisle. There was no protein on the aisle, or not very much of it. So anyone who's ever fed a baby knows it can be challenging to get a little bite, right, into that baby's body. So every bite that you get in there, you want to make sure it's as nutrient dense as possible because they don't all stay in. So we came up with a formula that worked pretty well early on. While we use wild caught salmon, we find pasture raised turkey, we have grass fed, grass finished beef, things like that. And then we kind of mix it with some starchy veggies, maybe some green veggies. And then voila, you've got a meal in a little pouch for your infant.
Why hadn't this been done before?
That was such a good question. I looked everywhere. The first thing I did in my summer of nerddom was like, okay, somebody's got to make this. I looked everywhere. I talked to everybody I knew and they're all like, yeah, surely that exists, right? I looked in other countries. There was some cool stuff in France. There was a little bit in Canada, but it wasn't distributed in the US. So I thought, well, nobody's doing it. Joe and I would really love to work together. That sounds fun. My heart is not happy doing what I'm doing, right? So maybe this could work.
Wow. And it did.
And we launched the business the morning our daughter was born, which was not the plan, but surely magic.
That is magic. You had launched the company as you're becoming a mom. What did becoming a mom teach you about what parents really need as you grew the company over the last few years?
In my opinion, one of the spiritual purposes of motherhood or maybe parenthood is to try to achieve that ever elusive thing called balance, right? It's like, how do I balance my attention on myself with my attention on my work, with my attention on my partner, if I have one, with my attention on my family, my kid? How do I take the best of me and spread it out where it needs to go in the moment, right? Because when I first had her, I had a really tough time with postpartum anxiety. And looking back at that now, I think part of the root cause was because I didn't have as much attention on myself. I remember when she was a newborn, it was a great day if I brushed my teeth and took a shower and put deodorant on. Some days I did none of those things, but it was a really good day if I did all three. And looking back, I could have had higher standards for myself, right? And I eventually have adopted those over time, really figured out how to ask for help in a better way, how to receive help in a much better way. I was not very good at that at first. And then really how to prioritize me, because I know that when I fill up my cup by, like, one of my favorite things is a really long shower and then taking the time to like put all my body lotions on and the things that smell good and fix my hair, like it really fills me up and just makes me a much happier person. Now she's five. So now she can watch her iPad or she could listen to her Spotify account. Even if she's doing that, which is not my all-time favorite activity for her, but I'm filling my cup at that exact same time. So for me, it is definitely a trade-off worth making.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about those trade-offs too, because we live and parent our children in the real world where things are not ideal. Certainly when I became a mom, I thought, oh, I'm going to be one of those moms that makes everything from scratch. And now I'm like, yeah, I think you could eat that thing in the cup holder in the back from last week. It's probably fine. I've come a long way. But you've kind of created this product that is at this intersection of both like innovative approaches to nutrition that are also, as you pointed out, kind of ancient and back to the earth, packaged for the busyness of modern parenting. Can you talk a little bit about that balance?
Yeah, I have a story. So when we were first launching the product, I went to the first production run big and pregnant. I was 7.5 months pregnant, waddling around this factory. I wasn't going to miss the first one. It was amazing. And I thought, this food is great and I'm very proud of this product, but I am definitely going to make my own baby food because it's better, right? It's better. I gave Della homemade baby food exactly 0 times because I was busy. I was a busy mom. I couldn't figure out how to take a shower. And then also, like, I knew what was in there. It's not just what's in our products, but it's also what's not. So we test for heavy metals, which if I made homemade sweet potato baby food, that's not tested for heavy metals. But I don't know. I think I've also gotten a lot better at giving myself a break as a mom, right? Of not being as hard on myself as I used to be before I was a mom. Now I've got a lot more things I can be hard on myself for, right? There's a longer list than there ever was. But I really think it's not good for her or me for me to be riddled with mom guilt and be an anxious ball of nerves, right? So I've really paid attention to my mental health. It was, like I said, a challenge. And I'm in a really good spot now. So it's really nice.
You talked a few times about your own health journey and being healed through food and nutrition. Kind of tell us about that. And I'm also curious today, as a busy mom, what it means to nourish yourself in practice. What does that look like for you?
My health journey started when I was 2 weeks old. I had my first ear infection and round of antibiotics. I was born in the late 70s and antibiotics were the thing. So pretty much many times a year, I was on them as a child. I ate garbage as a kid and it really did a number on my body. By the time I was a teenager, I started eating Tums every day for stomach problems and taking like Sudafed and allergy medicine like every day. And then I took another round of antibiotics for an ear infection in my 30s and something bad happened with my stomach and I couldn't eat any food or even drink water without serious stomach pain. So I went to the doctor and she gave me a pill that I was supposed to take every day for the rest of my life. And I was like, dang, this is like a life sentence. This is not cool. I do not want to do this, but I didn't know what else to do. And I called my dad. He's a psychologist. He's very calm. He calms me down. And he said, you know, you should read that book I gave you for Christmas last year, the one on the paleo diet. And it just made perfect sense to me. And I started it and haven't looked back. That was 13 years ago, actually. And today, as a mom, nutrition is still very, very, very important to me. It's one of my pillars of mental health, frankly. I really prioritize it from a budgetary perspective, from a planning perspective. And I'm also super excited about all the amazing technology that's available to mom today. Right before this podcast, I had 10 extra minutes and I placed all my grocery orders and it's going to deliver after I get home today, which is amazing, right? So I can still find ways to be smart. And the grocery store these days, man, they'll chop your vegetables for you. Like, it's amazing. And so I feel really grateful that I'm able to take advantage of all these modern shortcuts that my grandma didn't have, my mom didn't have. And really, really happy that I do.
Thanks to our sponsor, Serenity Kids. Serenity Kids, started by today's amazing guest, Serenity, is on a mission to make children healthier one bite at a time. Serenity Kids is committed to providing the most nutritious, premium, low-sugar, high-fat baby food pouches for babies age 6 months and up that contain the most nutrition per bite for baby. They offer a unique range of nutrient-dense, high-quality, low-sugar foods that are packed with premium ingredients like organic veggies, healthy fats, and protein. And they are as wholesome as they are delicious. So visit myserenitykids.com to learn more, and you can use the code MOTHERLY for 15% off your first purchase. That's myserenitykids.com and the code MOTHERLY for 15% off your first purchase. So one of the things that I know that makes Serenity Kids unique is your sourcing. And it is both innovative and almost ancient, right? In the way that we as human beings think about our relationship to the earth. So can you talk about what makes Serenity Kids food sourcing unique?
A lot of other baby foods also have organic vegetables like we do, right? Which is right now the highest standard. But what makes us really unique is our protein sourcing. early on in starting the company, we got introduced to the regenerative agriculture movement through some peers of ours. We've all heard about sustainability, right? We want to make things sustainable. We want to stop degrading the soil and the earth, and we want to leave it as we found it. That's sustainable. Well, regenerative takes it a step farther and actually improves the land. And it improves the land by putting minerals back into the soil, which ultimately come back out in the food that we grow. There are a lot of farmers out there. I go to a conference every April and meet a whole bunch of them, and they are really trying to figure out how do we improve the quality of the soil, keep the soil on our land instead of letting it run off during big, heavy rainfalls or floods, and really provide that nutrition to our families. Because the nutrition from an orange today is like half of what it was 50 years ago, because the soil quality has gotten so bad. So it's about looking to nature for clues about how to better manage the modern state. So I'm not going to go live in a cave anytime soon, right? That's not my plan. I do not want to be a hunter-gatherer. I'm not going there. But I can look to them. We have anthropologists who have documented over the last few centuries different ways of being. And we can find little clues in there. We're still babies in terms of being able to really understand Mother Nature. She's so complex and magical and mysterious. And there's a lot out there that we just don't know.
I just love how you described all of that. As a human, as a business owner, as a mother, what do you learn from nature in a way that applies and hopefully, fuels and inspires your everyday life?
One of the things I've been thinking about and exploring a lot lately are the seasons. We're heading into winter now, and I was just talking to my daughter's preschool teacher yesterday, and she said, as the days get shorter, it's harder and harder for me to get into the gym. My energy is just lower. And I'm thinking, maybe she just shouldn't try to go to the gym right now then, right? Maybe this fall winter season is a time for resting our bodies more. In ancient times, we would have fasted more during these times, right? We would have given our mitochondria and our body a break and been able to do a lot more cellular regeneration during the winter. So I've been experimenting with fasting. And if Della, my daughter, is not hungry, I'm not going to try to stick food in her mouth. I'm going to try to really honor her own intuition and really kind of figure out what foods are in season. And maybe my body needs those vitamins right now because it's the season of these foods, right?
I absolutely love that. You may have heard of the book Wintering. We have had Catherine May here. I love the book. I recommend it frequently. We've had her here on the podcast. And I think particularly for us as mothers, as women who have cycles in our bodies, within our DNA, and certainly pregnancy and postpartum is its own cycle that happens in women's bodies, and just learning how to honor that in the modern world and giving each other permission to slow down sometimes, maybe go faster in other seasons. In fact, I, on one of my favorite podcasts with great woman, Ashlina Kaposta, I love her podcast. She's also in Texas. She was talking about slowing down in the seasons. And a very small thing she said that I've really been trying to practice is to slow your movements down. I'm so busy. I got so much going on. I'm slapping my face cream on as fast as I can. I'm brushing my hair as quickly as I can. And, she just gave this example of slowing your movements down and helping me to be in the shower, to be present, calmly brushing my hair, to embody that, that feeling of that moment and that season. I don't know. That's a small way that I've been trying to practice it, but those small moments, that's life. That's what we have, right? They add up. Exactly. Something else you've mentioned that we haven't talked about yet is the fact that you are business partners with your husband. What is that like?
It is really, really fun to get to know him in so many different ways. And really, we get to work with our best friends, which is really cool. When we have to take work trips, it's kind of like a little vacation because we can go out to dinner and pretend like we're on a date. Actually, more than pretend, we kind of are on a date, right? Obviously, it can be challenging as well. The reason that we are such great business partners One, because we're both just really optimistic people who think we can achieve anything and get there. But two, we have very different skill sets. I'm the kind of back office kind of person. I have manufacturing background, finance, and kind of administrative skill set. And then he, on the other hand, is kind of front of house, on stage, sales and marketing kind of personality. So that works really well to cover the business, particularly when the business was only the two of us. But even now, we don't report to each other. Technically, I'm the CEO. And if we're at odds with each other making a decision, he will say, "What does your feminine intuition say about this situation?" And more times than not, we'll end up going with that choice. Even if I can't articulate it, even if it's not logical or rational, he has a deep respect for feminine intuition, which is probably also partly why we work well. And then, you know, this is a male-dominated culture, so I've got that figure in the instances when I need it. He can be my tool for opening those doors that might have been closed to me otherwise. And I'm really blessed to have that option and to really have him kind of help make my mission dream come true for babies and provide access to this amazing food within the capitalist structure that exists here, that people know how to navigate, and we can get investors and, you know, kind of build this business, which I'm also proud of. But the thing I'm the most proud of is the mission. And also, we have a coach and it works really well. We've had one for the last 8 years, and we talk about everything in there, and it's really a communication enhancer. Oftentimes, if we're having a sticky situation, most of the time it's because we're not understanding each other very well. And so I joke that our coach is basically like our translator.
I hope you're not the only company in America where a key question is, what is your feminine intuition telling you? But you might be. So here's permission for listeners to take that to all kinds of places, including the boardroom. You know, you mentioned that you studied anthropology and then described this professional and personal partnership with your husband that actually, to me, describes both an ancient and kind of modern approach to work-life integration. Over the last 200 years, the Industrial Revolution, we have really separated the idea of work and life. Men went out from the home in those times to work somewhere else. Women stayed at home. I think it's important to remember that this idea of separation is very modern and new, and also devalued the work that was happening on the home front. But now you, together with your husband, not thinking about work trips as work, but as life and the life that you've built together, it kind of brings back that work-life integration in a way back in the home. And I'm curious what that might mean to you, and if that's how you see it as well. And by the way, I think remote work is also bringing up some of these questions about what is work and where does it happen and who values the work that happens. Moms in particular need our culture to reimagine what work-life integration really means.
You know, that's a really interesting question. And we do have boundaries around work talk. You know, I don't always want to talk about work. So we have a boundary that on the way to a date, we can talk about work and kind of wrap up how the day has gone or what the latest questions are. And then once we're there, I want to talk about us. But as far as the integration goes, yeah, you're right. We are tied in lots of different ways together. And it's beautiful. And actually, after I had Della, that was about 6 months postpartum maybe. And Joe was like, "Okay, are you coming back to work?" Because I had a nice maternity leave. And he was launching a company all by himself. And I was like, "You know what? I don't think so. I don't want to leave this baby. I can't. She's my world right now. She needs me. And I want to be there for her as much as I can." And a couple weeks later, he's like, "Okay, what if you can bring her to work with you?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Yeah, what if we found a way for you to bring her to work?" And so he did. We hired a nanny to watch her. And we had another employee whose daughter was the exact same age. And she came to our office and we had a nursery set up in one of the rooms. So we would take nursing breaks and we started out maybe 2 days a week and then went up to three and then went up to four and eventually went up to, you know, five. But we all went to work together, me, Joe, and Della, every day together for a long time. And it was beautiful. She's been to board meetings. She comes to work events. Sometimes we need to, you know, bring her along and she's getting to see what we do. We talk about work, obviously, around her. Sometimes I had a really stressful project I was working on earlier this year and lost my patience with Della. I think I might have yelled at her and she got her feelings hurt. And I was like, oh man, what do I do? You know? So I squatted down. I was like, look, I'm really sorry I said that in a not very nice way. I'm having a really hard day. And she said, why are you having a hard day? And I said, I've got this really stressful work project. It's really, you know, not something I'm good at. And so I'm learning along the way. And I just, and I kind of went into the details with her. She asked such good questions. Well, but why would those people do that? And why would this happen? And just kind of, I didn't realize that I could share that with her. And now looking back, really teach her some ways of how things can go and how responses can be made and how work can affect you, especially when you really care a whole lot about it succeeding, right? Because I do have some mom guilt around the amount of time I have spent working during her childhood, right? I run a startup. Sometimes the hours are bonkers. And it really helps me to know that she might be learning something from it as well. And another thing that I started doing maybe 2 years ago, it had been a dream for about a year before I could make it happen, but I go on a date with her every week. I pick her up early from school and we go do something fun. And it's not easy to come up with what to do. You know, our like backup, mommy hasn't planned anything, is let's do manicures and pedicures at home. But we spend time together. She looks forward to it. I look forward to it probably more than she does. Just, you know, getting to drop in. It's just the two of us. There's nothing else going on, no expectations. And we've had a lot of fun.
So your name is Serenity. Your company's name is Serenity Kids. And I'm thinking about serenity and motherhood as an idea that feels elusive in some ways, but maybe it depends on how you define it. So what does the word serenity mean to you?
When Joe suggested we name the business Serenity Kids, I thought he was crazy. I'm like, no, we can't do that. And he said, no, think about it. That's not just you, obviously. It's what every family aspires to. One of our goals at the business is to provide this nutrient density, this balanced nutrition without a lot of blood sugar spikes, because blood sugar spikes make tantrums and meltdowns. So very directly, serenity means, you know, if you can get your kid the proper nutrition, then they will have a more serene life, which ultimately rolls over and spills over into the rest of the family. But serenity as a mom, for me, I think it means just what you said earlier, slowing down and paying attention to the moment. What are the needs of the family in the moment? I love how Brené Brown says there are parent-centered families, child-centered families, and family-centered families. And you can kind of decide which one you are. And if there's something happening with me, like I've been sick this last week, the whole family might alter our normal routine to kind of care for that person who is in that puzzle piece of the family together. So intuition, again, is something that I think really plays into the concept of serenity.
So at Motherly, we believe that motherhood brings out our superpowers. And I mean talents, intuitions, strengths, things about ourselves that come out through motherhood. So I'm curious, what do you see as your superpower?
I think for me, since I became a mother, my discernment has gotten much more honed, right? What is important and what is not important? What do I want to spend my time on and what do I not want to spend my time on? For me, it is much more important to sit down and drop in with my kid who's having a meltdown than it is to make sure I'm having the most possible nutrient-dense meal every single meal we have, right? And so being able to just make that choice on a split second to change my plans and instead focus on what's really important here in the moment.
Mm-hmm. That perspective taking and presence, it sounds like motherhood has really brought that out in you. Serenity Carr. Thank you so much for joining us on the Motherly Podcast.
Thanks. It's been awesome to be here.
Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much, Serenity. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. As always, we would love it if you spread the word about the Motherly Podcast. So if you can right now, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Leaving a review takes no more than 30 seconds, but it really helps other people discover our show. And I read all of your feedback. The Motherly Podcast is produced by Jennifer Bassett, with audio editing from Joel Edinburgh. Our associate producer is Olivia Hendrickson. Our music is from the Blue Dot Sessions. I'm your host, Liz Tennedy. Thank you so much for listening.